Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
You guys, it's Rick Tittle.
Hey, thank you for that, and welcome to another live edition of Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. How you doing out there in TV land, radio land, internet land? We're here for you. This is what it's all about, to come on in and talk some sports. The toll-free line is 1-800-878-PLAY. Once again, 1-800-878-7529. We'll get you in and get you heard, girl. Although I only have one segment today where I can take calls. I got a pretty packed show with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guests. And those guests include a couple of our Tuesday regulars. The first hour, of course, we always talk sailing with Karen Lyle of SailSportTalk.com. Second hour, we always check in with Bruce Marshall of the Gold Sheet from Las Vegas, and we talk a little hockey. How about Patty Marleau last night becoming the NHL's all-time leader in games played? And then also in the third hour, we will check in with Jack Carr. He was the original host of the Tonight Show. Now that's Jack Parr. Jack Carr is a U.S. Navy SEAL and New York Times bestselling author. He's here to talk about the Devil's Hand, and we'll talk to him as well. He was a sniper, by the way. Somebody asked me why he was holding an M4 if he was a sniper, and my answer is, you think those guys don't know how to fire assault rifles? Like, they only have bolt-action rifles. I don't know how to fire this assault rifle. Anyway, we'll talk to Sea, Air, and Land's Jack Carr as well. We're available on the TuneIn app, the iHeartRadio app, the Stitcher app. Those will stitch you up and get you ready. We stream through our homepage at sportsbyline.com. Go there, click listen live, and email rick@sportsbyline.com. Also on your TV set, CRN Digital Plus 2, the cable radio network channel 2 on your cable provider. You can receive the program there as well. The Twitter is at Rick Tittle. Come on back and let's do this.
Stop wasting your time struggling to loosen rusted nuts and bolts. Start using Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. Freol spreads deep into rusted or frozen parts to help release tough bolts and washers. Its formula delivers 3 times more lubricant. That means less sprays, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil on the market. It's even silicone-free. Professionals have trusted Freol Deep Penetrating Oil for over 40 years. Now it's your turn. Get Freol today at AutoZone, O'Reilly, and Napa. Look for the silver can.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful, genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful. Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a, he's so handsome, he's a genius.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show Aaron Bauman. He has a title of Distinguished Engineer, AI and Hybrid Technology at IBM, and he's here to talk about the 2021 season of the Overwatch League and how they are introducing power ranking with Watson. Aaron, welcome to the program. And when I say Watson AI, those things go hand in hand. Can you tell us a little bit more about what Watson is for those who don't know about it, please?
Yeah, sure. And thanks for having me. So, you know, Watson is a collection of different types of products and algorithms that we can apply within an enterprise-grade AI system that runs on hybrid cloud to many different problems around the world, including Overwatch League, which we're very excited about.
Did you start off as a kid, like, building your own motherboards and getting into all the circuits and all that, or did you kind of come to all this a little bit later?
It's funny because you know, I have to embarrassingly admit that I am a master inventor and I have 237 patents. You know, it's almost an obsession. And that really came from, you know, just doing science fairs and wet type labs, you know, sciences. At an early age. And then I got into video games and gaming. You know, I even went to the Nintendo machine and progressed. I was like, hey, what can I do, you know, to make the world a better place? You know, and so that got me into computer science.
That's very cool. So the old NES, if I took off the cover, does that look primitive to you now, or is it still a beautiful work of art?
Well, I'm certainly biased because that's my favorite machine. So I will always say that's just cutting edge always, right? but in all reality, yeah, it is a bit antiquated these days.
Let's talk about the Overwatch League and the popularity that it has had. And some people might say, well, I mean, rankings are pretty easy. We can just line up who's leading in this category and that category. But you guys take it to a different level, don't you?
Yeah, we do. You know, the power rankings with IBM Watson, it's completely objective, right? So it's this AI-based algorithm that evaluates the performance of players and teams all across the Overwatch League, right? And as the solution goes with more data, during the 2021 season, I think we're going to see analysts, fans, and players all using the rankings to engage the league and with each other in a new way. You know, and I can explain how it works in three simple steps, if you'd like.
Sure.
All right. Yeah, so I said simple, but they're really not so simple. You know, so first, it's all about statistics, right? So it's in the Overwatch League, there's a lot to measure. So we look at over 360 discrete factors, everything from healing per second to weapon accuracy to ultimate generation, right? But really everything that matters in the game of Overwatch. And then we go to the second step, and this is all about machine learning, which is a sub-branch within AI, and this helps us to boost the factors of play that are the most important. And then finally, the third part of all this is merging. So Watson helps us to rank different combinations of heroes, maps, and roles, and this helps us to determine what factors tip the balance between a win and a loss.
Very interesting. We're speaking with Aaron Bauman of IBM. So when you think about Area 631, and what is it that you guys do at Area 631 at IBM?
Yeah, so it's a really neat methodology. It's an internal IBM incubator program, and it's loosely built around the IBM Garage methodology, which gives six experts, in our case we had about six data scientists, 3 months to deliver one solution. And the IBM team, we work closely with the 631 team and the Overwatch League throughout this entire process, so that in the end we could develop the solution in only 2 months.
When you think about all the statistics you could do, sometimes you might get to the point where it's like too much, or just because it's information doesn't mean that it's useful. What were there some stats that you decided were irrelevant, or did you guys just run the gamut on every stat you could get your hands on?
Yeah, I mean, some people say that we threw the kitchen sink at it, but what we did is we did do and pick out the most predictive features. You know, so we look at things like sentry turret or shielding or role uses, right? And it helps us to crack the onion and the nut, you know, with respect to how difficult this combinatorial problem is of ranking, because it's a really fast game, you know, and so we use different tools. You know, so we use the Red Hat OpenShift and IBM Cloud Pak for data to really organize and prepare this huge volume as well as variety, because there's data everywhere. And then we were able to apply auto AI from IBM Watson Studio to build an AI model to really help us prioritize all of this.
How about comparing performances from different players? And you might be in a different map or a different mode or playing a different role as well.
Yeah. I mean, so I think, you know, our system told a really great story in week one. You know, there's a huge upset. So one of my personal favorites, Chengdu Hunters, they beat the Shanghai Dragons 3-0. And then even before that, the Chengdu beat the Los Angeles Valiant 3-1. And this was enough to put them in first place in the team rankings. And this goes well with our player rankings, with the top two players were from Chengdu. So it was a really fantastic experience to see how we can figure out the different combinations, you know, from roles to heroes, even to the different types of maps that you're in.
You know, in baseball, there aren't a lot of catchers who are good hitters, which is always a quandary because no one sees pitches better than them, their break and everything. So with you, is it too easy to assume that you would be really good at this just because you have all the inside info?
Yeah, so my forte is sort of the turn-based strategy kind of game, right? Mm-hmm. And so jumping into Overwatch, where it's just extremely exhilarating and fast, what I found is by using AI like Watson, we can slow down the game a bit so we can analyze and figure out what's working and what doesn't work. And that certainly helped me personally evolve my game, and particularly when I play like a support character, Lucio, you know, because I'm able to help my team, but also, you know, help us to get different objectives on the map that do change.
Just personally, what's your one or two of your favorite turn-based RTSs?
So any of the Sid Meier's, like the Civ 4, Civ 6, you know, pieces, I really enjoy those. That's a lot of fun. And then, you know, going back to the Nintendo days, you know, I really like playing GoldenEye. You know, that was fun. And then that propelled me into these first-person shooters and got me on the journey to Overwatch.
Yeah, the old N64. How good was that, huh?
It was great. Great memories.
Okay, so finally, as we progress, do you dabble in VR or AR?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So we're working with ESPN Fantasy Football, you know, to take real, well, to track real world football players on the field over into a virtual environment such that, you know, we can have head to head. And if you play any fantasy football at all, chances are you've used some of our insights there. And we're able to provide boom and bust and even help people optimize their roster so they know, you know, whom to start. You know, so it's quite interesting there.
There it is. Analyzed 360 different ways, aggregated, organized, and tiered in the IBM Cloud Pack. Advanced analytics to determine correlations between stats and match outcomes. And 30 stats are heavily weighted, driving the majority of moves within the rankings. This is all done through Area 631, IBM's Watson. We've been speaking with distinguished engineer Aaron Ballman. Aaron, how can we find out more about this?
Yeah, so, you know, throughout the season, we're going to be having, you know, the shoutcasters, you know, on live broadcasts, you know, talk about and use our power rankings to find insights and to make predictions. You can also find it on ibm.com/sports. There's a link where you can find a lot of information about all of our different activations across sports. And then you can find us on Twitch, and we're going to have a crowdcast and blogs that are going to be published that you'll be able to find, too. So it's a very exciting time.
Aaron Ballman with IBM, thanks for your time, and we'll catch up with you down the road, man. All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We will take a quick break, and we will come on back on Sports Pilot.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-880-7167. 800-880-7167. That's 800-880-7167. Paid for by Airtime Media. Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who'll sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. Again, that's 800-449-1759.
Here's a great way to save money on your prescription medications. If you take Viagra or Cialis, we can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men and women to improve their sexual performance. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get nearly 100. There's no need to pay expensive prices for Viagra or Cialis. Call now with your prescription and pay as little as $2 a pill. We offer 24/7 service and always free delivery and confidential packaging. Change your life for the better and have fun. Call Pharmacy Shop 24/7 to get generic versions of Viagra or Cialis for as little as $2 a pill, plus free discreet shipping.
800-709-4409. 800-709-4409.
800-709-4409. That's 800-709-4409.
Sometimes when I'm driving on the road at night, I see two headlights coming toward me. Fast, I have this sudden impulse to turn the wheel quickly, head on into the oncoming car. I can anticipate the explosion, the sound of shattering glass, the flames rising out of the flowing gasoline.
Right. Well, I have to go now, Dwayne, because I'm due back on the planet Earth.
Tittle ain't the man, but Rick Tittle know who the man is, and he slapped his white fanny.
All right. When we get a guest, we will throw him on the air. Rick Tittle with you. Open lines at 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Steph Curry's assault on the record book nightly now is getting to be pretty historic. His 11th straight 30-point game, his fifth 40-point game since the start of April. We seriously don't know if he's human at this point. Has anybody checked his DNA? Because once again, playing in Philadelphia against one of the best teams in the league, just scorched the 76ers, 10 three-pointers, and 49 points in a 106-97 Warriors victory. He scored 20 in the fourth quarter while hitting all five of his threes. And he did this in a little over 6 minutes. And the thing that's amazing to me, the greatest game of my life that I ever had was not in high school. It was in an adult league. We'll get to that later. Welcome back to Sports Byline, USA, coast to coast, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network, because we are very happy to bring into the show filmmaker Mads Hedegaard, and he's here to talk about his movie Cannon Arm and the Arcade Quest, which is at the 2021 Hot Dogs Nights Vision International Documentary Festival, and he comes from Denmark. Mads, welcome to the show, and my grandfather was from Denmark. I've been there many times. I have relatives in Odense and Roskilde as well. So I have to ask, growing up, did you go to Tivoli a lot?
I did, yes. I have been there quite a few times, growing up and as an adult.
And we are red, we are white, we are Danish Dynamite, Sweden 92, the whole team, Schmeichel and all those guys, unforgettable, right?
Yep, exactly.
A lot of Carlsberg was drunk that day, wasn't it?
Indeed. I was a bit too young to join in that drinking escapade, but I'm sure there were...
You're never too young to drink in Europe, though, really.
Well, I guess you're right.
All right, enough of that frivolity. Let's talk about the movie. Kim Cannon Arm is a grandfather who's a pretty much an arcade legend. Tell us a little bit more about Kim, please.
Yeah, well, he is an arcade legend. Like he's known around the world in the arcade communities for setting a lot of world records in retro arcade games. And when I met him, he had just decided to try to set the world record in a marathon arcade gaming. So he wanted to play his favorite arcade game Gyros for 100 hours straight. And I thought that was a great story for a film, and especially with a character like Kim. So I decided to try to make a documentary about that. And here we are, and it's now premiering in a few weeks. So I'm really excited about that. Because he's a kind of a special guy, I think you could say, and his friends as well, because in order to pull off that record attempt, he needs a lot of help from his friends, who are these, he's from an arcade community in Copenhagen, Denmark, which is really tight-knit, and like it's guys who didn't necessarily have an easy life, but they found each other in the arcade and created this fantastic community. And that's what the film is about, his record attempt and the community that they share. Yeah.
Well, the community at the Bip Bip Bar, and Kim, you could say, never really left the 80s. You mentioned he played Gyrus. He already had the record for 49 straight hours on a single coin. He's still rocking a mullet. He's still, in a way, kind of still in the 80s, isn't he?
In a way. He really likes the like, as he's said so many times to me, like, he likes the old games because they're so simple and no fancy business going on. It's just a great gameplay, and then you can play it for a long time if you are as good at it as he is. So he's working a mullet and listening to Iron Maiden and really digging all these retro games.
Probably a lot of Metallica he's got going too, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
Could you also just talk a little bit about I would kind of call it a Königstrasse, just the area in Copenhagen where the no cars allowed, and it's such a small country, but such a tight knit country as well, and that community aspect that you were talking about.
Yeah, I guess that the community aspect is a big thing in Denmark. I'm not sure if it's not as big in the US or anywhere else, but I guess it is kind of big in Denmark, and I guess it is important for people to be part of the community, but to me, I to be honest, I think that goes for everyone. I think that goes for people in the U.S. as well as in France or Australia or Vietnam or wherever you go. I think everyone needs to have a sense of belonging in a place, and that could be like in a football club or a tennis court or an arcade. I think we all need to get that feeling that we are in a place where we feel most comfortable with the people that we know and share our interests with, no matter what the interests are. It could be football, it could be hockey, it could be, anything. Movies, for my part.
Speaking of football, are you Brøndby or FC Copenhagen?
FCK, yeah. I have to say. But to be honest, I'm not really that much into football. But if I had to make a choice, it would definitely be FC Copenhagen.
And we only have about 30 seconds left. I would imagine 100 consecutive hours, he'd have to wear diapers, right?
Well, he has around 10 minutes a day in every 24 hours. He can be away from the machine. So that's where he goes to the toilet or closes his eyes for just a few minutes. Yeah. So, no, he doesn't wear a diaper, luckily.
Well, the movie is called Cannon Arm and the Arcade Quest. It is about the legendary arcade player in Denmark, Kim Cannon Arm, with a great name. And we've been speaking with the director, Mads Hedegaard. Mads, tusen tak. Congratulations on the film. And is there a link or a website we can go to?
I think there's I forgot the name of it now.
Oh, so the Hot Dogs Night Vision International Doc Festival, we can find it there?
Yeah, definitely. And you can watch the trailer if you look up Cannon Arm and the Arcade Quest on YouTube. There's a trailer. But also at the Hot Dogs website, that there's a link as well.
All right, great stuff. Thank you very much, Mads Hedegaard, everybody. Cannon Arm and the Arcade Quest. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.
This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I am here inside the Berkeley Yacht Club with Staff Commodore Mark Bird and Race Chair Bobby Tosse, who is also a Staff Commodore. Tell me a little bit about the Wheeler Race and its background.
It's the Rollo Wheeler Memorial Regatta, named after Rollo Wheeler, who was also a Staff Commodore here at the Berkeley Yacht Club. And this year was the 48th Rollo Wheeler Memorial Regatta. Would have been the 49th, but we had to skip it last year because of COVID.
And you had smaller boats this time because of needing to have smaller crews. Tell us a little bit about the courses that you run.
We had a little bit more smaller boats than we normally would, just because a lot of folks are still a little bit reluctant to gather in groups to come out. So a little harder to get crew for the bigger boats, a little easier to get crew for the smaller boats. So we had more smaller boats this year. So the courses, we run, it's a two-day event, and on Saturday we have two separate courses. We have the Wheeler course, and we have the City of Berkeley course. We run them about a mile apart, but it helps us to run the races at the same time without things getting too crowded. So on Saturday we had two races on each course. And then Sunday, we had a single race, which was a pursuit race, where the boats start at each boat has its own start time based on the PHRF rating or how fast the boat is.
And tell us about the weather.
The weather was absolutely spectacular. We had the perfect spring day. It was sunny, mid-60s. We had a very nice breeze out of the west-northwest coming from the Golden Gate. And it started off 8 to 10 knots, and by the end of the day, it was blowing in the mid to lower teens, so absolutely perfect.
And how did your racers feel about being out there on the race course?
As far as I can tell, everybody was very happy to be out on the race course. I manage the City of Berkeley course from the committee boat, and the racing was very, very good. We had we didn't have any stragglers. It was very competitive. Generally, it was one of the better races I've seen since I've been doing this.
Thank you so much, Mark. Bobby, you happen to be one of the old salts here at Berkeley Yacht Club. Can you tell us a little bit what an old salt is?
Very old, been around for a long, long time. We first joined 70-something or other, and I've been a member ever since, and so we've just been around for a very, very long time.
You were probably here when the Rollo Wheeler race started.
I believe I was. I think I was trying to remember that. Dave Simpson was the race chairman when I first joined, and the story I heard was he forgot to do the winter races, so instead he put together this weekend event because Rollo Wheeler had just died.
All right, thank you for that. And, yes, Tuesdays at 9:40 a.m. Pacific time here at Sports Byline on Titillating Sports, we like to check in and talk a little sailing, and we do it with the co-host Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great, Rick. Been out there on the water a couple times since we last talked.
How are you with your vaxes? You got one, you got two?
I have both, so I'm good to go. I mean, I'm still masking up for courtesy to others, but, you know, it does certainly feel better to be vaccinated.
Well, I'll be coming in. I'm double myself, so I'm going to be coming into studio next month. So hopefully just a couple more of these on Skype. But speaking of Skype, we're very happy to be joined from the United Kingdom by Pip Hare. Pip Hare is a professional solo ocean racer with 25 years experience. And last year when she raced a 60-foot yacht around the world in the Vendée Globe Race, only the ninth woman in history to achieve this goal. Pip, you know, it's easy to just say you have that British bulldog spirit, but not everyone is as brave as you. How did you get to the point where this was something that you wanted to try?
Well, I guess the Vendée Globe Race has been a lifelong goal for me. I first read about it when the first edition happened, so I was 17 years old, and it just immediately sparked my imagination because the race itself is, you know, probably the toughest sailing race on the planet. To sail non-stop solo around the world in a 60-foot boat is about as hard as it gets. And, you know, what really appealed to me was the fact that men and women compete on equal terms. The race is open to everyone. It just took me sort of a lifetime of sailing and working on the water and racing in other classes to get the experience to compete.
Well, Pip, this was quite a journey. Quite a rough winter there. I guess it went from November to this early part of the year. Tell us about one of the moments that you had out there where you thought you might not make it.
I mean, it's of course we went down into the Southern Ocean in the summer, so theoretically the weather was a little bit better for us at that time of year. But I think one of my toughest moments was in the Southern Ocean after I'd been down there for about 5 weeks. So you know, really starting to draw on my reserves of energy and mentally quite tired. And I discovered a crack in one of my rudders, which would have, you know, potentially put me out of the race had I not had a spare rudder on board. But sort of thousands of miles from anywhere and on my own, I had to replace a rudder between gale force winds in the Southern Ocean, and that was probably my toughest moment of the race.
Was there a moment when you started to leave the start at Les Sables d'Olonne where you wanted to turn around and say, never mind, I changed my mind?
Never. I mean, it was a real battle for me to get to the start line. I started my campaign at the beginning of 2019. I was chartering my boat. I didn't have any funding. And all the way through 2019, I ran my campaign with volunteers and a crowd fund, and slowly businesses started to get involved with sponsorship. But it was a really, really hard journey. And then in the middle of 2020, we were joined by Medallia as our title sponsors. And that kind of gave me the boost I needed to get to the line in good form. But I'd battled so hard for 2 years, and so many people had put their faith in me and invested in me. I was fairly determined from the start gun that I was going to make the most of it.
Well, out there on the ocean, there are just some marvelous moments when you have, you know, the wind is just right, the weather is beautiful. What was one of those moments for you that you really remember and appreciate?
I love pretty much every day out there. You know, it's always different. There's always something to learn. But I was surprised by how much I enjoyed the Southern Ocean. I thought I would be terrified most of the time. But actually when you get one of those weather systems and you get it just right and the boat is absolutely flying. It's such a pure sailing experience. I really enjoyed that.
Couple more questions for our guest, Pip Hare. In 2004, on this show, I had Bruce Schwab, who was the first American to officially complete the Vendée Globe race. He would call me once a week from a satellite phone, and I think only maybe once or twice did it not work. But it was very fascinating over the months to follow him. And sometimes he would be up, sometimes the mood, you could tell he was really down. He talked about some nights he wasn't able to sleep because he was in an area where there were logs floating in the water. What is that like when you run the gamut of emotions like that?
I think that's why the Vendée Globe race is such a fascinating race, because it's not, you know, it's so much more than just about your sailing ability. It takes a huge mental strength, emotional resilience, you're problem solving all the time. And the boats now, you know, when Bruce did it, you know, I think that it was a lot more isolating because the satcoms weren't as great. And now we can be in constant contact if we like. But the flip side of that is the boats are very, very noisy. So you've got constant background noise all the time. You're being thrown around. You kind of have to, the way I dealt with it was just always remembering why I was there and always remembering that I'd chosen to be there. And it's a constantly changing environment. So when things feel bad, you just kind of cling on to the knowledge that it will change at some point. You just have to get through it.
Well, Pip, there's also just a little bit of luck when you don't hit things or get caught in nets or other things on the ocean. You have to repair things yourself. So how did you gain the skills to be able to do those kind of repairs on your boat?
Yes, they say the Vendée Globe race is one problem a day. I think it's probably more than that. I think if we added them up, it would be 1.5 problems a day. But of course, they don't come in a linear form like that. Sometimes you've got 10 things break a day, sometimes nothing. And there's a huge range of skills that you need, from, you know, glass fiber work to sail repairs to electronics. I've worked on the water my whole life. I've always maintained and fitted out my own boats. I lived aboard a boat for 13 years, which really gave me a lot of skills on diagnosis and repairing. So it's kind of just accumulated over a lifetime, really.
So I have to ask, are you a Philippa?
Only when I've been very naughty and when my mother's talking.
Okay, very well. What would you say during the Vendée was your nadir, the one where maybe you cried or you just started breaking things and wishing you could just quit? Or did you not have a day like that?
I think my most difficult days were actually, I got very ill. I had a really massive allergic reaction to a jellyfish sting, which was so left field. And I hadn't mentally planned for a problem like that. That was difficult. I wasn't expecting to be physically sick. But in general, I just managed to get through everything and stay happy and positive all the time. And I always wanted to be where I was.
Well, Pip, I really relate to you because I'm allergic to jellyfish too. And when they have the sea lice out there always, it seems like, you know, and I'm always having to deal with those kind of allergic reactions. What kind of medications do you have to take with you on that trip to handle those? Did you have an EpiPen or?
Yes, we've got, there's a huge range of medication and medical support kit on the boat. And we have to train before we go. We have to do a specialized training because actually treating yourself is something quite different, you know, having to inject yourself or put stitches in yourself. I had to learn how to put a cannula in the back of my hand, all those sorts of things. But we have medics on the shore and every time you open the big yellow box that's got all of the medical supplies in it, you have to have a sign off from a medic on the shore. So there's always somebody working with you on a diagnosis and a treatment plan, and you always have to tell people what you're taking when and why, so that there's just a really good stream of information and everybody knows what's going on.
How about the fauna? Did you have some critters who kept you company? Were it, you know, an albatross or flying fish or dolphins, things like that?
Yes. I mean, in general, there isn't a huge, you don't see a massive amount of wildlife when you're really deep in the middle of the ocean, because the stuff you see tends to be in around the edges where there's more to eat on the surface. But off the tip of South Africa, I saw some hourglass dolphins, which are beautiful. They look like mini orcas, black and white, and they came and played with the boat for a bit. And then the albatross, just, they take your breath away. You know, we've all seen them on nature programs, but in reality, in the place where they belong, they are just so magnificent. I couldn't get enough of watching them.
Well, Pip, you also have to feed yourself on these trips, and part of that choice is personal, because you can decide on things that you like from the many choices available for a long voyage like that. Tell us about your cuisine.
I had a very minimal cooking facilities on board. Although my boat was one of the oldest boats in the race, it was maybe, I think, probably the only one that didn't have sort of like any dedicated cooking facility. So all I had was a jet boil, which is just a metal cup that sits on top of a gas burner and heats up water. And that's the only thing I had. So all of my food was freeze dried. I mean, there was a good selection, but every meal was freeze dried. And then I had dried fruit as my snack, and some vitamin pills, and that was it for 95 days.
Last question for you. 2024 Vendée, are you already making preparations for that?
I definitely am, yes. I got off this one and was just absolutely bursting to go forwards and do the last one. I enjoyed it so much, I learned so much, and I just feel it would be a shame not to take all this knowledge forwards. And hopefully we'll be making an announcement about that in the next couple of weeks.
That's Pip Hare joining us live from Britain, and single-handedly raced around the Vendée Globe, only the ninth woman in history to ever do that. Pip, thank you so much for your time, and congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
And
Karen, so
of course, as always, SailSportsTalk.com. That's where all the action is, right?
It certainly is.
All right, we'll see you next week. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Byline.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-807-1981. 800-807-1981. That's 800-807-1981.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him It's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-338-6906, 800-338-6906. That's 800-338-6906. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
What kind of music do you usually have here?
Oh, we got both kinds. We got country and western.
Tittle ate 200 chicken wings at yo mama's house last night. Now back to Fat Boy.
Nah. All right, so just quick note from the sporting world, which is nice in the sports talk show. Steph Curry last night, 49 points at Philly. He's now the first player in NBA history 33 years or older with 11 straight 30-point games. Kobe Bryant was the previous record holder back in 2012. He also now is the leading scorer in the NBA. He has passed up Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is, I think, 31 points, and Curry is 31.4, or maybe it's 0.2.4, but whatever, he's there. He also has the most 40-point games in a month by a player age 33 or older. That passed Kobe and Michael Jordan as well, because he now has 5 40-point games in April. And I was just making the stupid statement earlier that in an adult league I played in like 20 years ago, I hit 5 three-pointers and then a foul shot for an and one, which amounted to 16 points. And I felt like I scored 100. That was 16 points, which is nothing. And so I can't even imagine in an NBA game to score 40, 40, 40. His last three games, 10 threes, 11 threes, 4 threes, 11 threes, 10 threes. No one in NBA history has made more threes in a five-game stretch. That's 43. I think my favorite one of all is that Steph Curry has 6 games with 10-plus threes this season. No other player has more than 5 in their career. He has 6 this season. No one else has more than 5 in his career. It just keeps coming at you. MVP. MVP. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.